We've seen that what we are not, we are not state church, we are free church, and we've seen also that it's important to those who are pursuing the vision of what Ichthus is all about, that we are charismatic. Now, of course, some people use the word charismatic for Catholics in South America, but we're using it in that general term of how the message of Pentecost, particularly recovered in the Pentecostal revival of 1907 onwards, has now spread from beyond denominational, restrictive, narrowed boundaries and has gone into all the churches. And we are a part of that move too. And then we thought that we were not only charismatic, but we were inclusive. First of all, faith reminded us that we allow and we want, because we believe this is the mind and the will of God, that women should participate in all the gifts that God has given them without restriction. But then I went on the following week to take that a stage further, and we saw that we were inclusive. We don't believe in ageism. We don't believe in the restrictions that were in the Old Testament for people who were disadvantaged physically, mentally. We believe that children equally are those who can bring things which they've received from God. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has ordained praise. We were inclusive and not in the issues of sexism or ageism or racism, and we examined that at some length. Then we moved on and we thought about the kingdom truth. We're kingdom people. You glad about that? We are kingdom people. And really, we've only just begun. We looked last week at the king himself, and we began to try and unravel what this wonderful message of Jesus is all about. We are a kingdom people because he is had a kingdom message. If Jesus had anything to say about forgiveness, if he had anything to say about experience of God and the Holy Spirit, it was all with a view that he preached the kingdom, he preached the kingdom, and he preached the kingdom. So much so that many theologians have had to say, Jesus was obsessed with the kingdom. Why? That's what his message was for the world, in one word. And to be a kingdom people and understand our identity as such is very important too. Today we want to, I've got more to say about the kingdom, we'll come back to it. But by popular demand, well, Debbie asked me to do it actually. I've decided that tonight, the first night, with all our friends from different places gathering with us to start the 2 weeks of the project, that I should speak about another area of distinctiveness about who we are. Putting it again in short, we are a new church. Now that has got denominational and historic meaning. It's not just that there wasn't a church here before and now we are a new one, or we've been planted where there wasn't one, but the new church movement was born out of what was originally called the house church movement. The house church or the home church movement was emphasizing that we are a people who want to be at home with God and give a home to him. Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us. Jesus came and set up home amongst us. And it was felt by many in the late 50s and early 60s. Not only was there power missing in the church, but possibly the way for its recovery was to be a relational people rather than just sitting in rows looking at the back of each other's heads. Now, if you are sitting in a row looking at the back of somebody's head, I am sorry. It is never the way I wished it. I wish the church wasn't like this. I'd far rather we all sat round in a circle or half a circle and we looked at each other. Because we come to church to meet God and his people. We come to church to meet God in his people. I mean, what's the point of coming anyway? You can worship God out on the hillside, as I used to say before I was converted. Don't worry about going to church. I can worship God when I'm on the hills and dancing around and enjoying his creation. I never did it, mind you, but you can worship God there. We come to church because the imminent God, the present God, the immediate God is here in our midst. And we meet him when we gather together as lots of dots on a television screen so that the vision of Jesus in our midst is empowered by every one of you sitting there. And every one of us bringing Christ's power in our hearts and lives contribute to the overall vision. It is there that Christ is seen and inspires us and empowers us and quickens us. It is there that we fall in love afresh week by week with our Lord Jesus Christ because he is seen in our midst. There is revelation in the midst of the church. And the church is what Jesus came to provide for this great motion, this movement, this pushing out into the world by the sight of the vision of who he is. That is the church of Christ. And many thought that the somewhat distant, transcendent God, for indeed he is, different from and other than, and who brings fear and awe into our hearts, rightly so, is also the God who at Pentecost was poured forth so that we might know him sitting in the seats with us, living in our hearts as we converse with each other, showing on our faces as we show the love of God to one another. The instrument, the church, having lost its relationships, was something that the new church, as it was called, house church movement, wanted to recover. Some people called it restoration. But it wasn't just a slavish trying to attempt a copy of what the early church was. It's to restore the purpose for which the church was brought into being by our Lord Jesus Christ. And restoration wasn't just a matter of, let's get out of churchy buildings and get into our homes. That was the beginning of the house church movement. It was happening all over the country. And as the Spirit of God began to move, more and more of those who were ministering in the Spirit were invited to these little groups. Very soon, streams of these groups came into being. But of course they grew, because where God is in the midst, there's life and there's growth. And so they couldn't stay in the houses and the homes too long, because there wasn't enough room for them. Most of them remained having house meetings, but it wasn't long before we were gathering in larger buildings. And then that led to the change of name. This movement of the Spirit of God, which has brought us to this point in time, was not just simply a matter of home meetings. It was a matter of God's presence and relationships on an ever-widening scale, making God tangible and immediate and with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And that is where we want to stay. We don't want to move away from that very heart of what it means that the tabernacle of God is with men. That is at the key, that is at the source of what the New Jerusalem is all about. So the new church movement came into being. And with it came this emphasis that it was the relational body of people that really mattered. And so some of the church leaders began to say, we don't want institution anymore. We don't, and because obviously, I think I've made the point before, everybody's got an institution, you can't help it. Your institution is your skeleton. Your life is found in your body, and when you stop breathing, it isn't very long before the other two things fall apart, except it does take longer for the skeleton to actually disintegrate, is that right? And in a lot of denominations, it takes a long time for the institutional skeleton to disintegrate. In fact, some of us are saying, you are not going to remove us, Lord. We are here to stay. And that makes it rather difficult, but, you know, my will, not yours be done, etc., etc. There were others who wanted to hang on to being together, but it wasn't working, and it was very difficult. And we didn't really like one another very much. That doesn't really matter. Don't bother about that. But the body begins to disintegrate. It takes a long time. But the breath, as soon as the breath is gone, you are starting to disintegrate. The Spirit of God, when he goes. But because the Spirit of God was being experienced, many of these groups understood themselves and identified themselves with the new church movement simply because they wanted freedom in order to express the Spirit's presence in gifts and manifestations. Others wanted the fellowship and the relationship where people really could enjoy one another in community. Others wanted to be an instrument in order to evangelize the world, all of us together, because it's hard to do it alone. And began to say that a community is far more important than just an individual. So there were different reasons which hung around folk as they began in this early 60s to express church life and into the 70s. And different reasons arose to the fore. But there were various differences with ourselves and some others, which I will explain so that you can understand the identity of who we are in Ichthus. One was, rightly, they said, it's the church, the church, the church, the church. It's fellowship, 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 fellowship. It is the body of Christ. It really matters. After all, that's on the last night of he was here on earth. In the Last Supper, he took the bread and said, this is my body for you. What is it that God has given us? God has given us a body. God has given us the body of Jesus. We are the body of Jesus. You are what you eat. And that kind of emphasis, rightly so, meant that when we gather like this, as I hope I will emphasize again this evening, it's terribly, 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 terribly wonderful and important. And so the emphasis on being in fellowship and in communion and sharing together and being a community was very, very much to the fore. But then they said, that means that because in the Bible there aren't any Bible colleges and theological seminaries and places where you go away out of the church, because Bible schools are not the church, are they? They had a lovely word for this, parachurch. Don't ask me what it means, but it's not in the Bible, so we won't bother about it. They are parachurch. They're not the church. And many movements, Christian unions, evangelization societies, even the Salvation Army, they didn't have communion and baptism because we are not the church. We are parachurch. We are serving the church. You got the idea? Are you still with me? But in actual fact, although that is true, very often those groups who said, we don't want any Bible college or theology or whatever, were particularly thick when it came to understanding the faith, because they hadn't really got down and done some hard work, and their leaders thought that if they just clap a bit louder next time they come together and sing a bit louder next time they all meet, then it'll be all right. Well, in a way, sometimes it is, but it doesn't last long. That's the trouble. And so the leadership, although it began from people who trained in theological colleges and seminaries and in Bible schools, the leadership of these movements couldn't really quite get it to pass on the same passion for studying truth and understanding the faith. And so it's all very well to say we don't believe in Bible colleges, and we said it. But at the same time, if you went to a Bible school or to a theological seminary, you often found that you got far more real fellowship than you did when you were in your local church. And in fact, in your local church, when they never did anything to serve the Lord very much, you know, 20 minutes on a Sunday morning and goodbye, vicar, really, that was nothing like what the evangelistic association or society or the missionary society was like. Which was the other factor. No missions in the Bible, no missionaries, no, the apostles went out from, so we don't want missionary societies, we don't want evangelistic societies, we don't believe that they're in the Bible. The Bible is saying, church, 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 church. That is right, but when you went to those two groups, very often you found far more church in the theological college, and far more church in the missionary society, because they were living and sharing in communion, and the Spirit of God always builds church, and they were finding that they were a church within the Bible seminary. They were a church within the missionary society. Are you with me? So either we're going to say we don't have anything to do with all those things, and we don't want to say that in Ichthus. We don't say that. We say if you do a bit of theological study or you go to a Bible school, well, God bless you. But that is not ultimately the great vision that God has for this wonderful people called the Church of Jesus Christ. The vision he has is that those three elements of the local church, which are fellowship and mission and teaching, training, all belong to each other in what we at Ichthus believe is the definition of the church. Silly to say we don't believe in Bible college. What we mean is, the church should be a Bible training place. It's ridiculous to say we don't believe in missionary societies. Thank God all the missionaries have gone out. We've been blessed by them. But the church is the missionary society. so that every one of us, 100% of us, is involved in the mission of Jesus. Every one of us is involved in pushing out with understanding and training to the very end of our days. We're wearing L plates because we want to go on learning. We want to go on training. We want to go on studying. We want to understand the depths of the heart of God. The reason why so often we're weak is that most of us don't understand much further than our Sunday school instruction with a few pictures on the wall. And when it comes to anything a little bit beyond that, of the homoousios or homoousios eschatological inquiry into the depths of the being of God, we don't know anything about it. Neither do you, neither do I, so that's a good thing. We want to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. We're going to go on learning. We're going to go on training. We're going to helping each other forever and ever and ever while we're here on earth. Is that right? And beyond, no doubt. So the new church scene either dismissed those institutions and then began to get somewhat weak, or it tried to reproduce those institutions within the community of the body life of the church. So we're just going to look at those three things tonight, remembering that it was Jesus who said, I will build my theological college. Oh no, he didn't say that, did he? I will build my... And he also says, we are all in the mission of the reason of what the body of Christ is about. Jesus also would never have said, I can't stand my church. My church is terrible. It is absolutely disgusting. I don't know why. And just leave it to get on. Like people who say, I cannot stand the church. I love Jesus. Oh, I'm so spiritual and religious. But they never have anything to do with the church. I want to think a bit about that tonight too. Because Paul tells us Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Every bit of him, he thought it was worth that. He thought it was worth his own life. And I want to tell you, people in China, people of the Anabaptists who were murdered way back in the Reformation time by both Catholics and Protestants, people all the way down the centuries have lived out radical Christianity, seeking to obey the Bible and the power of the Spirit, and have found that the institutions ought so often been against them. These people thought not only would they die for Jesus, they died for his body. They wouldn't give up their brothers and sisters. They would rather die than betray them and be disloyal to them. Brothers and sisters, that is the people of God. That is what the Church of Christ is about. That is what it means to be a community of people. You understand me? And we've got to get back there. That is what restoration's about. It's rediscovering the wonderful commitment. You see, well, let's read a few verses, because you'll think, I'm not going to read the Bible tonight, but... Look at the first epistle of John. Here we are in the new church movement saying we want to find real fellowship. And incidentally, en route, the twin issues of mission and training. But where do we begin? Where's the real fellowship of the body of Christ? What was from the beginning, says John, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled. Here are the apostles, the authenticated gospel, not the Dan Brown gospel. They have handled Jesus with their hands, especially in resurrection. Concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we've seen and hear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. The life of the Father was the word of life. The life of the Father was eternal life. He is the eternal one. The life of the Father is the Son, and the life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. The purpose of this epistle of John is to declare the wonder of the very nature of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is it's a body of people who together are having fellowship with the Father. They're having fellowship with the Son. That's how they know the Father. And then they find fellowship with each other, that your fellowship may be with us, that our joy may be filled, may be full of joy, that we may be full of joy. Why? Because the Spirit of God is amongst us and in each of our lives. This fellowship, this local church attribute of being in communion with each other, being the body of Christ, of being the community of God, this fellowshipping and sharing is a matter of being together in the triune God, knowing the Father and the Son and the life which is in each of us, that we may be full of joy. That was the wonder of this idea of being the church. The church is not like a cricket club. The church is not like a howling crowd of footballers. The church is not, we come together to have a few lectures about philosophy. The church is not a university institution. The church is not a rabbit keeper's club because they like keeping rabbits together. The Church of Jesus Christ is a body who are having fellowship with the Trinity, with the Father, with through the Son, and by the Spirit that's found in each other. That is sacred, brothers and sisters. This is the holy church that we're in. It is a sacred instrument. It is the place where communion with the triune God is expressed in the way that we live and share with one another. That's what the new church was after. I'm afraid they got it lost sometimes. I'm afraid we got it lost sometimes. We begin to think that other things are more important. Nothing is more important than the presence of God in the midst of his people, in which we share with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus on the Last Supper night gave us the bread, he also said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is for you and for the forgiveness of sins." We are in a covenant relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as God exists, not in a static state of soul, simplistic unity, but in the mobile, dynamic relationship of unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, moving and acting and being and giving and taking and sharing and receiving, in that dynamic moving mover. He's not the unmoved mover. Don't take up Aristotle. He'd never seen Jesus. All right? We've seen Jesus, and he's introduced us to the moving mover of the universe. And he's moving because he's alive. And life exists within relationships. And life exists in fellowship. For the Father's life, eternal life, is the Son. And he hasn't got any life. He hasn't got his Son. And the fellowship that comes to us by the Holy Spirit is a relationship with that eternal life. We enter in, brothers and sisters, take a deep breath and think about it seriously. To be a child of God, to be a living Christian, is to participate within the socializing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is to share his life. That's why we say that we have eternal life, because we're sharing the life of the triune God, who exist, their state, their mode, their style, their entity of existence is fellowship. It's communion. It's sharing. They're all the same word in the Greek. That's why Jesus gave us communion and put it right down in the middle of God's people and said, "This is my body." And so we share the body. And this is the blood of the covenant. Because as we're in covenant relationship with God, we're in covenant relationship with each other. Because we are the people of God. To whom? With whom did God set up his first covenant? I'm forgetting Noah for a minute. It was with Israel. It was with a body of people. And the covenant of the church is that we're covenanted together. We're covenanted together. And yet you hear people say, "Well, I didn't go to that church, didn't like the preacher, so I went down the road and they sing quite nicely there, the music's pretty good." And then you go to somewhere else, and at last we discovered the real church that I want to stay in for a couple of months before we move on to somewhere else. Brothers and sisters, that isn't absolutely, totally, completely, and adamantly, and absolutely unadulteratedly, absolutely nothing to do with what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. We are related to each other and committed to each other. We belong to each other. We die for each other. And therefore, I don't like Sister So-and-so. I'm moving out of that place. For goodness sake, when are we going to learn what restoration really means? And stop playing at church and making it suit our own particular beings. Nothing to do with suiting our own beings. If I'm in church life with you, I'm committed to you. We're on a journey together. We're on a pathway of pilgrimage. I'm helping you. You're helping me. We want to learn from each other. We want to discover God in each other. And we're committed, even when we don't like each other, to make sure that each of us is going to go on in that life of God and become like Jesus. Because that's the big picture. Your little mini story is a part of the maxi story. The maxi story starts right back at the beginning of creation. And then God has a go at bringing in Israel. Then God has a go at bringing in the kingship. Then God has a go at bringing in Jesus. And he sums up all of them, as we were thinking last week. And then Jesus dies and rises again. And God's great adventure, which is going to deal with evil at its roots, in the demonic and the satanic and in the supernatural. And God's dealing with the flesh and human sin. And God's dealing with what it means that into society there's endemic sin. And we are all caught up with each other's rebellion against God. Jesus on the cross has come to deal sin's utter blow, to deal Satan and evil's utter blow, to finish for good and for all that structures of the world and society which will not be washed away next time, but will go through the fire, so that the world that comes out the other side is that beautiful halcyon world of a new heaven and a new earth, and an earth in which at the midst of that building program of God you'll see the marks of Calvary still there on the Lamb who sits on the throne in the midst of the New Jerusalem. That's where God's going. And the earth will cease its groanings. Why? Because you and I will be manifested as sons of God. And the earth won't be able to hold back any longer. We won't be able to hold back. We'll look at each other and we think, oh, that's old Brother James there. Goodness me, I never saw him look so glorious. Because he'll be resurrected with a glorious body. And there's old Phil over there. And he's not wearing his old striped shirt anymore. He's put on Christ. Every bit of him is revealing Jesus. And at that manifestation of the sons of God, the earth will rise up and say, we've been waiting for this moment. We've been waiting for the sons of God to appear. Now we see who they are. For the Son of God comes, and we, sons of God, rise again. And the earth ceases its groaning and enters into the liberty of the glory of the sons of God. Isn't that a wonderful program that God's got afoot? Dealing with evil, dealing with sin, dealing with society, called the world in the Bible, dealing with the very nature itself. And oh goodness me, it's 8:05. We are a community of people who are sharing and living in the life of the Trinity. And we're committed to each other as equally as Jesus was committed to us, committed to the depth of blood, in order to help one another in this pilgrimage to become like Jesus, so that God can fulfill the purpose for which we were made. And our mission, because you can't be a body without something to do. People ask me, when am I going to retire? I've been retiring all my life. I'm such a modest kind of fella. And retire. When you're in a program, brothers and sisters, like this, can you believe it? People ask you, when are you going to retire? I can't retire, can you? We're on the move to the most wonderful prospect that has ever hit this universe, because it's God's prospect. And we're all engaged in it together. And I want to see you more like Jesus, Anselm, than you've ever been before. Yeah. You're not doing too badly, but there's more to come. And I'm committed to you. I'm committed to Shirley because I want to see her. I'm not going to separate from these guys. They may want to separate from me, and I can understand that, but they shouldn't. And because we're all together in this. And what's our mission? It's to get people one for Christ. It is to transform society, like happened when that euthanasia bill was defeated by 65%. That is God at work. We have prayed and prayed. Rob has been in the forefront. He's been under the pressure of the enemy. We broke through again. That is fantastic. We haven't done this in Britain for a long time. It's beginning to happen again. To transform society with the Christian values and treat human beings as what they really are worth. And not to play around with being a little bit religious to look after my own soul. I came across a little quote I thought I'd pass on tonight, and I'll have to do it quickly. But I think it sums up a little what I'm trying to say about being in community together. The belief that an individual in his own source of meaning... The belief that an individual is his own source of meaning. That is ontological individualism. You understand that? One or two of you. Ontological individualism is the belief that individuals in their own selves are the source of their own meaning of their existence. That is where we've got to in the 21st century. Each individual believes, the ontological is simply meaning the beingness, the identity, who we are in our being. God's being is continuously to exist in the mode of communion. Our being is to continually exist in the mode of being. That is giving and sharing and giving way, rather than to look only into our dying selves, because we die without each other. We die without communion. We die if the Lord's table is not in the middle of the meaning of the church. You understand me? And trying to find a meaning in myself, then that is my own death sentence. It is impossible to find. Remembering the warning of Bonhoeffer, who said, "He who loves his dream of community more than community will kill it." He who loves his dream of community rather than the community itself will kill it. This is down to earth, grassroots stuff. We're not just dreaming church. We are being church and loving church and caring for one another in church and seeing church move on in the kind of commitment that the Father has given us through the Son, and it's spelt in blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. Further touch of our mission is to, I believe, green issues. This lovely earth that God gave us. It's going to be beautiful, over and beautiful and warm, more than it ever dreamt. It was meant that together with God we would develop every beautiful thing and make it better still. God doesn't mind that. He doesn't feel he's being put out because we make it better than it was when it was given. He meant it that way. And instead of a lot of wild roses, we have beautiful blossoms, because together with God we are putting our hands into the earth. And yet we kill it and pollute it and slag heap it and destroy it. And the polluters who pollute the earth, God will pollute, it says. He will destroy when he comes again. We're here. That's a part of our mission too. Part of our mission is to love men and women. In the days of disaster, in the days of catastrophe, in famine, in warfare, is to love and to bring that healing touch into all the world. To deal with human beings from the fetus right the way through to their death, as to be honored and treated in the full sense of being made in the image of God. We've got a terrific job on our hands. We've got an awful lot to do. Some people say, why are there more women in the church? Well, it's not true in Forest Hill. We've got the same number, actually, roughly. And more men come out to pray anyway, so keep it up, men. But why have we got the men in the church? Because the men have got such things to do that they won't get on and do it very often. They're in the place to do it in their business, in their politics, in their society, and they don't get out there and let Jesus be known and begin to tackle problems. They say, we all leave it to the women to go on doing a bit more praying. Well, thank God the women pray. And you're not going to do anything for God unless you pray. But we want to see society changed again, because the church has become this communion. And secondly, what about the training? I've already said that the training is not to go off to a Bible college. Well, you can if you want, but stay with God's people. We're all in teaching one another, learning from one another, encouraging one another. Let our teaching be here where we have to live it. Not in ivory towers of theological colleges where you don't have to live it most of the time, generally. But right down here, where that miserable person sitting next to you, just look at them, aren't they miserable? Are there to be loved and helped and to become much more and much more like Jesus until everything in the universe, in the heavens and on the earth, reflect the glory of the Son of God. And God is felt tangibly to be in the midst of the New Jerusalem. His tabernacle, the tabernacle of God, is with men. That's our big story. And our little bits are all fitting into it and making an awful lot of sense. The identity of a new church is not just playing around with terms and saying we like theological colleges or we don't. It's being a people on the ground who are doing God's purpose on earth, training people to do it, and in the long term, it's done by fellowship, by sharing. Very, very practical, last minute. In the prayer time we had on Wednesday, I was thrilled with it. We get a phone call. There's one of our guys in prison. He was out again the next day. Well, we prayed. We got a guy going off to collect his wife through the Sudan. So we are praying for him. We got a doctor and his wife, Iranians. They can't get their visas properly to get on and work. And so we're praying for them. And then somebody else got an ache and a pain somewhere or other. But boy, let's go for it, because Jesus came with salvation from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, as well as the soul and the spirit. So we pray for them. And by the time you go away, believe me, when you go away, I'm just telling the facts of the case, I felt so enriched that I'd had the privilege to put my hands into that little bit of life there and that bit of life over here and what Jesus is doing in this person's life there. And I'm a rich man because I belong to this wonderful body called the church. That is what it means to be in communion with God and with one another, and to be helping one another and committed to one another on this road of Christ-likeness, which is his purpose. Amen?
Amen.